We're going to get you flowers for sure.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. Clint Sterner in the building, run the show here as well. Tyler Milner holding it down. We appreciate Sean Merriman joining us. Someone said 100 Taylor Swift prop bets. If anyone's betting on those, just call the number. Laughing my ass off.
I like that one right there.
I bet you there are going to be a lot of dudes, a lot of people, a lot of ladies betting on them Taylor Swift prop bets. I bet you. They ain't going to put them on there for no reason.
You want to create some action? Put some Taylor Swift bets up there. You're gonna have mamas depositing money on 12-year-olds' phones so they can bet on Taylor Swift. How long is Taylor Swift shown on TV? That was close, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's what happens when you get some almonds in there. Oh, cheese.
That was cheese, little cheese block. Cheese.
Yeah. that'll be. I know there's got to be one out there. This Travis proposed, right? That has to, I'm going to assume that's got to be one. I mean, I'm not trying to make a man's decision, but we got to be entering that time.
Got to be.
They're the same age, so they're both 35. If we're getting any little Swifties running around here, I mean, we got to be getting close. The way he double kissed her after that AFC championship mm-hmm. game, kissed her, hit mom, and then came back. And slid in there again. We got to be entering a close range.
Yeah.
Still. We got to be within a year. What are we? Be 2 years? Is this 2 years? Just maybe under two.
Got to be close coming up on it.
Yeah, got to be.
Your second Super Bowl.
Yeah, because they were deep in it. All right. So, no, it'll be a good time. A lot of people making money off this thing. All right. 713-572-4610. You can be a part of the show. Text it on in. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you know the deal. As usual. All right, this is my fault, fellas. Last year, when they finished the season against Baltimore, coming into the offseason as well, there was, I think, great confidence in Houston that CJ Stroud was the dude.
The arrow's pointed up.
You know, like, you look at it, you got to have a quarterback to really win big in this league, and it's hard if you don't. And at that point, I think everybody in the organization, all fans, thought, yes, the Texans have one. The Texans have one that can compete with anybody at the top, and especially in this conference, you got to have one. And there was great confidence, to hell with everybody that was brought in, but there was great confidence at the start of the season. We watched him go toe-to-toe against Joe Burrow. We got a dude. Like, this year he can go toe-to-toe with Lamar. He can go toe-to-toe with Mahomes, Strauss. I believe. Hell, there were some of you telling me he was better than Josh Allen, Patrick Creighton, before the season started. Like, there was great belief that you had a dude. You still believe that right now? 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Now that this season is over, and now you're going into next season, do you still believe that the Houston Texans have one of those dudes at quarterback right now? Do you still have that same belief like you had last year?
I do. I believe they've got a guy. I believe they've got the dude that they can win a Super Bowl with. I believe they've got a dude that they can be a pass-first football team and win a Super Bowl with. I believe they've got a dude that processes at a high enough level that he can win from the pocket often enough to win a Super Bowl. Yes, I do. I do believe that they got a dude.
Right now. Growing into it. Right now, they've got a dude that can go and compete and play toe-to-toe with these other quarterbacks they have.
I still believe in C.J. Stroud, yes. The only part of C.J. Stroud, I think it's less of a I've flipped on it and more about, hey, we just know a little bit more about the guy. Like, I really question CJ's level of alpha. I really question CJ's level of leadership.
That has shifted from last year?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know that it's shifted as much of we've just seen a larger sample size and now we know more. I don't know that anybody was ever walking around going, boy, this guy's just the absolute, I mean, alpha. This dude is just the, you know, he's the end-all, be-all. I think it's obvious right now that you've got to, when you make moves this year on the offensive side of the football, whether we're talking about offensive coordinator or we're talking about either guard or whatever you do with Laramie Tunsil, you absolutely have to bring in more guys that are like Joe Mixon and far fewer guys that are like Dalton Schultz and Laramie Tunsil.
I love Joe Mixon.
You like even Nico, like you have got to bring in at least one guy, if not two guys, that are absolute alphas. I mean, we'll get in your ass, we'll set the standard, we'll change the game offensively and set the bar offensively on a daily basis. Like, they've got to find that guy. And I only say that to illustrate, like, I just don't think CJ's that guy. I don't think CJ's the hold guys accountable, getting that ass type of guy.
Now you're saying you don't have to be that to be a dude, right?
No, yeah, you don't have to be. Look, I don't.
I don't know if Joe is Burrow. I don't.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right, because I don't know that Drew Brees was. I don't know. You know, I don't know that Aaron Rodgers ever had that. He would do it, but I don't know that he ever had the ability.
Say, like, no, Aaron would.
No, he would do it, but I just wonder how much of like the team would actually respond to it.
Yeah.
You know, you like I played with one. Troy Aikman was a no nonsense, getting that ass. Didn't matter who you were. I mean, you guys are.
Seems like he's continued.
Yeah. They're like he didn't have a problem doing that. I think you look. Brady obviously didn't have a problem doing that. Peyton Manning, I don't think had a problem doing that. Now Peyton also didn't need an offensive coordinator. He was the most cerebral quarterback I've ever seen play the game, and so. You know, that obviously, you know, allowed him to do and say some things and lead from a little different angle. But yeah, I think that the only question, I still think CJ Stroud is that dude. I still think CJ Stroud can win a Super Bowl here in Houston. I still think he's the franchise guy. My only question is more of, from a leadership perspective, where's his ceiling?
Yeah, that's the part. And I want to get to Tyler because Tyler represents the fans more than anybody that I know at the station. So I do want to get to him, and I'm seeing some people here. Again, last year, right, I think there was almost 100% belief and confidence that you got one of the dudes.
Yeah, he was a top five quarterback.
Rookie of the year.
Like, there was 100. Like, not
Jaden,
just,
what Jaden Daniels is being talked about right now is what CJ was being talked about last year.
But again, it's like I'm saying, it ain't just like, oh man, we see the growth in it. It's next year. Yeah. We think he can. Hell, Greg Jennings had him as the MVP this year, coming into the year. Do you still have that level of confidence that he is one of the dudes? And I'm seeing some people on the text line roll through. Preach, Clint. I don't know. A good quarterback can improve players around them, and he didn't. An average scared quarterback. Yes, they have a dude because that dude just learned that he can now run out of the pocket instead of just standing in the pocket. Someone texted in, CJ cries too much to be an alpha. Someone said he's more Phillip Rivers.
Not a popular take, but I think it's a very, very fair.
And before we get to Tyler, I'll give my thoughts. Can I say I have shifted from, yeah, they got a dude too. I think so. I think so. I'm not as confident that they got a dude as I was at the end of last season. Like, some of the leadership stuff, yeah, but for me it was some of the, damn, man, I didn't anticipate him falling apart at times with some of the adversity that hit. And I mean, like, some of the on-field adversity, like it did to me seem that the protection, which was a major problem and hindered him from being able to be completely who he wanted to be. But I was a bit surprised that it seemed to, at times as the year went on, just knock down his performance to where it affected him even when there weren't protection problems. So I still think he is a guy, and I still think he's a franchise quarterback. It's just it moved from a feeling of a definite to I think so. I think he is a dude. I think he is somebody that of the coming years will be able to compete with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Mahomes. I think he will be in that mix, right? And that's just a bit of the shift. All right, Tyler, you as I said, represent the fan thought. Are you as confident right now that CJ is the dude?
I would say short answer is yes. And I say that because when I'm pondering this question you've laid here before us about CJ Stroud, and I think back to that rookie year we just laid out. It was amazing. Rookie of the year honors. One of the best, if not the best, rookie year we've seen from a quarterback, maybe until Jaden Daniels this season. I try to remember that all of that just so vastly superseded anything any of us imagined or could have expected from the rookie QB in Houston. Like, I try to remind myself of that constantly because he outperformed the expectations in such a way that it made this year feel all the much worse. You know, it wasn't good no matter what he did his rookie year this year. The offense was not good. CJ Stroud struggled. We all have eyeballs. We all saw that. But because of how freaking amazing last season was for Stroud, it makes it hurt that much more. It stings that much more. So I would say yes. Right now I feel relatively at the same level as far as confidence whenever it comes to CJ Stroud after 2 years.
All right. And I see some people coming in from the text line. Clint, I agree. I agree with you. Give me CJ all day. They just need a few junkyard dogs. Someone texted in, Ron is trolling. He just wants people to talk bad about CJ. It's obvious he hates the Texans and the fans who believe in them. I guess the first thing I would say is your mama. And if she's no longer with us, I take that back.
In that case, your daddy.
I'll just take it back. And then also someone here on the text line. I don't feel as confident because of how things shifted with Deshaun Watson. I don't think that's fair. I'm not saying I'm not going to say I think that's fair, but I mean, hell, you can't help what you think. Like I said, man, I think it is. It's just not as definite. It's just not as I am shocked by the step back into the season. Well, and even just the stuff that he controls. I am shocked of that. Some of it was out of control.
I mean, I don't care how good you are or how good the previous year was. It is ridiculously difficult to play the position at a high level for 18 straight weeks. Any way you slice it, when things are perfect around you. And the reality of it is, the more we, you know, the more we learn about what was going on in that building, whether it's the reported, you know, friction between Bobby Slowick and CJ Stroud, or it's the inability of this offensive line to protect him, or it's the injuries at the O-line or the injuries at the wide receiver position, you know, any way you slice it, we've seen guys continue to play well through those types of hard times, no doubt about it. But that is significantly more difficult to deal with than, you know, the teams that have most of their pieces, the offensive play caller's one of the best in the game, and they're working on situational football start to finish, been in the same offense for 6-7 years. This was a rough patch for CJ Stroud, no doubt about it. But I still think from a talent perspective, from a processing perspective, I think he's a dude you can win a Super Bowl with. And he's a dude that I think you can win a Super Bowl because of.
Yeah, that's a good point. Not just riding in the passenger seat. Someone texted in, CJ just needs to mature. He was a little bit too full of himself going into the season, and he got his reality check this year. You buy into any of that?
Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely. We talked about it. It's not just CJ, but yes. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, CJ's out here on podcasts talking trash to people in the division. Like that's...
Weak-ass Cowboys.
You know, you didn't love that.
No, I hate it. I hate it. I mean, I absolutely hate it. And You know, I wonder if he'll be out doing those things this weekend. I mean, this week coming.
There's already been some word. My man said he declined the Pro Bowl invitation to put his head down and get to work.
Well, I mean, okay, then that's
and I guess clearly maybe he felt like maybe he needs to.
Well, regardless of what, I mean, he's got to live his life and do his thing. So it's not on his radar. But as you look at just that reality is. All of a sudden, things got real. Your OC's fired. You're trying to find a guy. Guys got injured. You didn't have as good a year. Are you going to be on Radio Row talking trash to the Colts again this year in the Super Bowl? You know, are you, or is it put my nose down? And it's time to grind. Well, it was time to grind last year as well, right? We've heard reports coming out, or not reports, but we heard Joe Mixon talking about, you know, maybe early in the season it was more about stats. You got receivers talking about. Wanting, you know, so many touchdowns and wanting 1,100 yards and this and that. Like, the way you had that rookie year, the way you had the 2023 year was, we'll do whatever the coach asks us to do. Now, all of a sudden, you got a bunch of guys that have goals and they want to talk about it, they want to voice them, and they got stats they want to reach, and they're talking trash on Radio Row. Well, see if that continues after a rough season. We'll see.
All right, we'll see. All right, it is Wednesday, and we'll do a little stock up, stock down, NFL playoffs edition. Stock up, stock down. You can put yours in. We'll do ours coming up next.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket. Tootski, come on.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
Yeah, almost, big voice guy, almost. Because this is no longer Texans stock up, stock down. Same concept.
Don't put them in a box now.
Sorry, voice guy. Same concept, doing the same thing ultimately. But obviously, the Houston Texans, their 2024 football season has come to an end. There are two squads remaining. We're doing a little NFL playoff edition of Stock Up, Stock Down today on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley. And I want to get the negative out of the way like I typically like to do. Give me that bad news first, good news later. Let's start with the former NFL quarterback, Clint Sterner. Clint, as you take a look back at where we have gone and how we've gotten to where we are to the Super Bowl and looked at these NFL playoffs, give me a stock down from what you've seen.
Well, I'm going to go with a couple of guys, and both of them are quarterbacks for me. CJ Stroud here locally. I'll be quick with CJ. We just got through discussing, you know, what's going on with CJ, and the stock down from last year to, I mean, the stock is definitely down from last year.
Oh no,
to this year, right? We just discussed that at length. My other stock down, boys, is Sam Darnold.
Damn, Sam.
Sam Darnold had the NFL free agency. In 2025, literally in the palm of his hand. He had it right by the old gonads, boys. I mean, he was fixing to. Now, I don't think he was going to get what these second contracts are coming for the top quarterbacks in the league. I don't think he's going to get 50 or 60 million.
He was on top of the world week 17.
On top of the world.
I mean, literally, they were lifting him up and throwing water
on him. Ron, he was going to get upwards of 30, maybe even $40 million. And maybe he still does. I don't know. But them last two games, who was that? Detroit?
And Detroit, where Dan Orlowski said he missed five touchdown passes in the game.
Yep. And who was the next one?
And then the Rams just got sacked out nine times. And
yes.
Won a fumble recovery for a touchdown through a pick in that game.
Yep. Those two games, I'm going to be shocked to see how much money that actually cost Sam Darnold.
That's a tough one.
It is a really, really tough one. I mean, you can argue that Minnesota probably should have given him the money for a couple of years and let McCarthy, let JJ just develop a little bit.
I got to think about that now.
The way they were winning, yeah, right? The way they were winning, you could argue, like, you're crazy if you let Sam Darnold get out of the building.
I mean, it's not like just the two biggest games of the season he lost. and struggled. Like, I mean, they were the things that scared you to death about bringing in Sam. Like,
yes.
what you saw.
Yes.
He held the ball for nearly 5 seconds on all of those sacks.
And to think about it, too, guys, it couldn't have ended any worse. Literally, both games, they weren't just poor performances and bad losses. One of them cost them the bye week in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The number one seed in the bye week. And the next one sent them home,
end of
obviously.
The season. Yeah.
I mean, so Sam Darnold for me, man, stock down. I don't know if there's anybody, at least I've guys that were in the playoffs that the stock is more down on.
And they were on Sunday Night Football, the last game of the regular season, the last one you watch.
Come on,
and
man.
Monday Night Football, the last game of the wild card weekend.
That stings. That stings. So the old quarterback, Dirty Red, Clint Sterner, goes with a quarterback, Sam Darnold, and C.J. Stroud, of course, who we've talked at length about. His game kind of taking a step back this year. Stock up, stock down. We're on the show, Hughley. Flipping over to your side of the table. As you have observed these NFL playoffs, give me a stock down.
My stock down to this point is to the national media. The national media who have decided, and not all of them, but some, who have decided to act like fans or internet trollers and have created even more and jump-started even more of this narrative that the refs are out to help the Chiefs.
I just got the red carpet. We're wanting to get into a controversy.
The Mad Dog Russo goes on his...
The evidence is there, wrong.
Okay. The evidence... Again, the evidence is not there that the referees are out there cheating for...
The Chiefs are
on, coming out and
refs.
Coming as a game plan to cheat for... The Chiefs, which is like Mad Dog Russo is coming on First Take every single week banging this out. Just the amount of national media people have taken this to a whole nother level. And I would say to many of you, you understand this. Just like the likes of Carl Ravage, Joe Buck, Joe Davis, any of those guys, Brian Anderson, every time they did an Astros game, they would repeatedly just bring up the cheating scandal to try to make it seem like the Astros were still wink, wink, nod, nod, still cheating after that, and kept bringing it up for no reason when they knew that wasn't happening no more. And they kept creating that and making that a bigger story amongst fans and amongst people when it really wasn't.
It feels huge.
And that was with some real cheating. So to me, the people there that have, and now some of them are trying to walk it back. Hey, this week, don't talk, the Bills just lost. No, so don't talk about Mark Slurth. No, the Bills just lost. Don't talk about the refs now. No, you got to be ashamed of yourself pushing this narrative up of they're cheating on purpose. Stock down to the national, to some of you. Many of you know who you are.
So
damn shame. We should be talking about the greatness and Philly trying to knock down a team that's going for a three-peat. Instead, we're up here talking about Sean Hockley and the other referees out there. What crew is coming? Oh, that back judge has thrown three personal fouls against the Chiefs over the last 3 years. Yeah. Ridiculous.
I mean, all right. That's where on the show Hughley's stock down for these NFL playoffs. I mean, if you ask me, though, I mean, agree to disagree. I think that would almost be a bull market. I would buy in the refs, making sure Mahomes and the Chiefs
just
are taken
like
care
it was
of.
Ridiculous for them to keep bringing up those trash cans. And years later, they know that wasn't happening. Just making it a bigger story and creating.
Yeah, the Astros admitted to all that, though. The Chiefs don't want this to get out.
And you're right. And it was real cheating. It was not compared to.
Around the whole Major League Baseball. Yeah, everybody was doing that. All right.
Damn shame.
All right, I'm done. So let's get the positivity. Let's get some good feels going for Ron the Show Hughley. If you're just tuned in, this is Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Do it every hump day around this time. Ron, stock up. As you've watched these NFL playoffs this year.
Stock up for NFL playoffs, Saquon Barkley. And not just Saquon Barkley, but the running back now in the NFL.
Saquon.
The shift, and Joe Mixon's a part of that. Obviously, Derrick Henry. But Saquon has been the best. And his game has also even been raised up a notch from what it was during the regular season when he came close to breaking the record set by Eric Dickerson. Saquon Barkley has been special. He has been the big play of their offense. And now I do think with his performance and even his performance on the biggest stage, I think it's going to help running backs and help the feel of how running backs are. It was thought to be just a position where it was meaningless, and not when you played, as you played with Emmitt, and that was like Emmitt was more important at times, it felt like, than Troy Aikman. And it feels like the running back is getting his due again, and I think Saquon Barkley and his playoff in the play and his performance in the playoffs is a catalyst.
I agree wholeheartedly, Ron, and I love the fact that he got out of New York and made it happen. I mean, the dysfunctional organization has killed many a career, and Saquon Barkley is luckily out, and all of us just football fans get a chance to see it. And you're right, man, it is going to be hard after what he and Derrick Henry did, and you can argue even Joe Mixon.
That's what I said. Mixon's a part of that.
I mean, what those guys did with this year's free agency for running backs, and the conversations that were being had around the running back position from a negative perspective. Boy, you can argue this was a monster year, and the headliner was definitely Saquon Barkley.
The arrow's pointed up.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that one. All right, flipping over to you, Clint. As you've been viewing the NFL playoffs this year, who around the league are you buying stock in? Stock up for you, Clint.
I'm gonna go with Xavier Worthy. I am really fascinated with how Andy Reid uses Xavier Worthy. The way that it just seems like every pre-snap shift and every pre-snap motion, every bit of those details is an effort to get one guy a touch. I mean, everybody else kind of gets it within rhythm. They get the football within the scheme. There's not a whole lot of moving Travis Kelce around to get mismatches. There's not a he is just the one that it's fascinating to watch him and Andy work together. And I heard Andy on Pat McAfee today talking about how, you know, he had DeSean Jackson when he was in Philly and been able to use him with his speed. And
he loves those guys.
Yeah,
he loves,
man,
those little shifty guys.
Yeah, and it's just I think it's a great story. You know, last week they were highlighting the fact that the Buffalo Bills actually traded out of that spot, traded down, and took what's the kid's name? Zero in Buffalo. What's the kid's name?
Coleman.
Yes, Keon Coleman. They traded down and let the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy, and they took Keon Coleman, and you clearly saw who the better player was in that particular game. So I would just say Xavier Worthy right now. Obviously, playing on a team where all eyes are on you, you're going to get all the credit when you play well, and he's been playing well. I just think he is a unique weapon for Andy, man.
Yeah, he is. And it was weird, though. It was kind of touch and go at the beginning, right? And the other part is, the crazy thing is, outside of that catch he went up to go get, it hadn't been looked at as him being downfield to be able to do stuff. And that's what you thought he was going to do coming out of Texas and going downfield and being a big threat that way. He's more side to side, crossing and doing things like that, letting him get the ball and use his speed. So, yeah, it's been a hell of a turnaround for him. Coming up, some news from the Texans coaching staff. We'll let you know the latest on that and the latest on what's going on with the search. That's coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in to The Drive. And we appreciate our guy, Sean Merriman, for joining us earlier in the show. If you missed that, he came on with us at 2:45. Coming up here an hour from now, Rockets report, the first one of the year, Brandon Scott. He will join us as the Red Hot Rockets. We'll get his thoughts on that. Him and Adam Spolane do the H-Town Hoops podcast. You can find on Odyssey or wherever you find your podcast and listen to that. They'll join us, or he'll join us, coming up an hour from now. Wanted to pass across the latest here, Clint, as we kicked off the show talking about where this OC search is going for the Texans. Here's the latest. Texans to interview senior offensive assistant Bill Lazor for the offensive coordinator job Thursday, according to Aaron Wilson. Lazor, previously offensive coordinator for the Dolphins, Bengals, and Bears, coaching Ryan Tannehill, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, and Mitchell Trubisky. So that is the latest. All right, now they got somebody with some experience that's been in the building, Bill Lazor. Your thoughts on Bill Lazor?
Well, look, another one that makes more sense than what they've been doing. I mean, it having somebody in-house that knows everything, the chemistry stays the same, the familiarity with everybody stays the same. So it makes sense why you would at least interview those that feel they are qualified to interview for a head coach job. Now, I say all that to say, I mean, unless Bobby Slowick was just like, hey, I ain't talking to nobody. I ain't taking recommendations from nobody. This is all my stuff, and I'm just going to stick to my guns no matter what. I got to question Bill Lazor. Bill Lazor was more of a consultant with an offense from an old school offensive coordinator perspective. If Bill Lazor was in the building and we weren't able to fix our protection problems, and I'm not talking about the techniques and the mechanics, I'm just talking about the communication, IDing, and hey, what's the best way to go about this? I've got questions about Bill Lazor. You know, that's, you got, again, we go back to the same old stuff, the tight end stuff, the level of softness there, and the inability to block edge rushers there, and the staff just accepting the level of softness that we saw all the time from Schultz, but throughout the year for a couple of different guys. Wide receivers, the lack of detail in what they were doing. I don't know how you look at somebody that's in that building that's longer in the tooth and has a bigger voice and literally is in the building as a sounding board consultant type, and not go, well, damn, if this guy makes it better, how did he not make it better throughout the year? So yeah. I do like it more. This is more, I think, in line with what we thought we would see in-house guys. But still, it doesn't really turn me on much, to be honest with you.
Ready for this one, Tyler?
I don't know. I hope so.
On January 29th, 2013, Lazor accepted a coaching position with the Philadelphia Eagles as their quarterback coach, coaching alongside Chip Kelly.
There you go.
Looks familiar like with Chip. I might be onto something.
I will say that it seems like most of these guys, a lot of these guys, have some sort of connection with Chip. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, look, that I don't know what it means or doesn't mean. If you're sold on Chip Kelly, it'd make a lot of sense to get Chip Kelly in the building and let him sit on these interviews and talk to these guys that he's linked to, instead of you doing it before he gets here. But stranger things have happened. Like I said before, I can get down with Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly gets an interview, right?
I would hope so.
Like, I mean, we got a lot of smoke here happening, right? We've heard it was a name that jumped out surely before Thad Lewis or some of these other names. Sorry, Thad.
I heard Payne and Pendergast this morning bring up a good point, and I could see the logic in it. Just knowing right now how close of a relationship to some degree D'Amico and Chip Kelly have from their past working together, I mean, it's very possible that those two guys, I mean, they don't have to announce some formal interview or something. They could have, you know, more of a conversation between them two, like without having all the lights and sounds going off for old man Chip Kelly, a return to the NFL. Oh God. So that very well could be happening, but he's gotta have a conversation.
Right. I would think. I mean, it's just, you're hearing his name so much, right? And when they're talking about it on the AFC championship game, and the only name they mentioned in terms of the search is Chip Kelly, makes sense. They're interviewing a bunch of guys that have ties with Chip Kelly, and also, we know the really big tie is D'Amico played for him. So D'Amico is obviously very familiar with Chip Kelly. So who knows? It's a wonder. But this is the first one who has actual NFL experience in terms of calling plays. He's been a coordinator and a play caller, three different stops, multiple offenses, right? I would say like, oh, the offense would stay the same, but he's been under Chip Kelly, obviously. He was with Matt Nagy, which is like the Andy Reid Chiefs offense. He was with Zach Taylor in Cincy, which is, so he's been under several styles of offenses. So we'll see. That's the latest. Bill Lazor has been a senior assistant with the Texans is the latest to get an interview. He'll get an interview tomorrow for the vacant OC job with the Texans. All right, Clint, as we continue to roll through, this along with the OC job, and then this, I think, will start to take part as a big thing, free agency and stuff too, but the draft, fellas.
The Houston Texans are on the clock.
Yeah, the draft, the Texans are going to be in the first round, and I know you're a big fan of Daniel Jeremiah, especially when it comes to the draft process. He did his first mock draft, and I'm wondering how you feel about this, how anybody sees this one. His first mock draft, he has the Texans picking at 25 and selecting Luther Burden III, wide receiver out of the University of Missouri, 5'11", 205 pounds. Is a little write-up. The Texans are in the market for a new offensive coordinator, but they could use more help at receiver, too. Burden reminds me of Stephon Diggs, who is headed to free agency. Obviously, with Diggs up in the air and Tank Dell, who could miss most of the season, if not all of it, receiver could be a thought. 713-572-4610. Luther Burden, 5'11", 205. He was thought to be a big-time receiver coming into the year, a preseason All-American. Had a decent year at Missouri. I know you've seen him and watched him play multiple times. If this was the selection at 25, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'd be okay with it. I mean, I don't know enough about Luther Burden III to rank him. You know, I'd have to go back and look at some of the different stuff from his 2023 year. He had a monster year that year, as you mentioned. That's when he kind of jumped on the scene. But I would be okay if they went wide receiver. I don't have a problem. They clearly are going to need something beyond Nico Collins in 2025-26 season. So first round draft pick would mean a good one.
Yeah, I look at this, Clint, and it does feel like this is a team that needs help on offense, right? That's the side of the ball.
You could say that.
Yeah, like that's the side of the ball. The defense, obviously, we've talked about defensive tackle. That could be a thing holding there. But this team needs help on the offensive side of the ball and probably some positions. I think, obviously, offensive line, wide receiver, as that was talked about. Hell, people have talked about tight end. You saw a good tight end. Maybe something there. There's help that is needed. They need weapons. On the offensive side of the ball, what are you confident in this team drafting? Like, I'm just talking position-wise. Like, are you super confident right now this team drafting offensive linemen?
Yes.
You are. You're super – you're confident. I am not.
I'm confident that they will do it.
No, not that they will, but how are you confident in them?
That they'll hit on it.
Like, you're like, all right, yeah, this team, you need offensive line help, you need tight end. Like, what position are you confident on the offensive side of the ball, this group drafting? Ooh. And as you said, hitting. Receiver would probably be it.
Yeah, wide receiver would have to be it for me.
Yeah, like a quarterback, baby. Wide receiver would have to be it because offensive line, which is obviously the biggest need, they've drafted Juice, they've drafted Blake Fisher, they've drafted Kenyon Green here of late. The jury is still out at least on Juice and Blake Fisher. Kenyon Green, I feel like the jury has made its decision. Tight end, all right, we'll see about Cade Stover. Running back, we'll see, which you think, I don't know about in the first round, but you would think they probably could use some help there. Wide receiver to me feels like the best thing that they have been able to draft it. Nico Collins, Tank Dell was a good pick. John Metchie has at least shown that he can bring something to the table here of late, coming off of everything he came off of. That's why I'd be all right with wide receiver. I feel that's probably the number one position on the offense I feel most comfortable that this group could hit in the draft.
Yeah, look, the Kenyon Green thing really puts a funk on the offensive line side of it. But overall, I think Nick and D'Amico have been absolutely tremendous in the personnel department. I mean, in a sense of whether they're signing free agents or they're drafting guys, they have been really, really good, relatively speaking. Again, the Kenyon Green sticks out and will frustrate a lot of people. That happens, right? I wish it wouldn't have happened, but it happens. They've hit on a lot of guys that produce, a lot of guys that contribute, a lot of guys that show promise. And they brought in guys that are veterans in free agent world that play above their ceiling. The interior defensive line, hell, there was three guys in there that played well above what I thought they were going to play like this year. So I got faith that whatever they do with their premium draft picks, that they'll hit on more than they miss.
Yeah, this team has been fantastic defensively. Like defensively, especially with D'Amico in the building, they have been great on that one. I got if D tackle is the one in the first round, I'd feel pretty good about what they would bring to the table and getting the guy that they need. But I think we clearly see the help is on the other side of the ball. So receiver to me, I'd feel comfortable with that. I don't know, what about the size? 5'11", that'd be another smallish receiver. I know you were talking about maybe somebody with more size as a guy that they could bring in. But, yeah, Luther Burden would be fine, a guy that's been a big play type guy in his time at Mizzou College Football. All right, that is that is the latest there with the draft part. That's going to be a big thing there to see where the Texans head in the draft. By the way, the Dallas Cowboys, they bring on in Matt Eberflus to be their defensive coordinator. This has got to be, I think, going into the year, the Cowboys, you thought they maybe had some issues with clock management before with Mike McCarthy. This clock management situation, I'm telling you, I can't wait to see end of games between Brian Schottenheimer and Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus, the guy on Thanksgiving Day who just torpedoed that game for the Bears against the Lions. I think Eberflus has shown to be a good coordinator. This is like Matt Eberflus, that would be the type of guy that I think you would want the Texans to try to get as a coordinator. Like the offensive coordinator version of Matt Eberflus.
Yeah.
That would be what you're looking for. I actually don't mind this hire for the Cowboys, him in that role.
As a defensive coordinator. When he was a defensive coordinator for the Colts, he was really good. He went on, when you assume all the head coaching duties, it's a lot of guys can't handle it, and they're not as good. They're not a good head coach, and they're not as good on the defensive side of the football as they were when that's all they were worried about. And so that happens, right? And I think he'll be fine with the Cowboys. I think it's a great hire. Former head coach comes in, Schottenheimer. He could also be a resource for Schottenheimer from that perspective, good, bad, or indifferent. And so, yeah, no, I like Eberflus in Dallas.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that rolls. I don't know about Schottenheimer, but, you know, as a defensive coordinator, not a bad thought. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
All right, the Rockets on the road. They win 100-96 over the Atlanta Hawks. There's a stat out there right now with the Rockets that I got to ask some questions about. They had 20-some-odd turnovers last night and won again. How many times has that happened this year, and what does this mean for the Rockets? We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.